Pastor Leon and his wife Sheila founded Gospel Tabernacle Church in 1982 in the heart of Lawrence, South Carolina. Since then, the Lord has richly blessed and increased the ministry and family of Gospel Tabernacle Church. Here at Gospel Tabernacle, we believe in the power of the Word of God to change the hearts and lives of believers. Gospel Tabernacle is a family church ministering to the whole family through the charismatic teaching ministry. Today's message will grow your faith and draw you close to the Lord as you open your heart to God's Word and His Spirit.
Come on, everybody. Shout hallelujah. Oh, that's all right for around here, but what about for the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory? Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody go, come on now, come on. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on, move a little bit. Come on, move it out. Move, move, move. Come on, give Him praise, give Him praise, give Him praise. Come on, everybody stand up with me in the whole house. Come on, stand up, come on, stand up. Everybody stand up, come on. Come on, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, give Him praise, give Him praise. Father God, we give You glory. We give You honor. We praise You, Almighty God. You're worthy, O Lord. You're worthy, O Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. How many is happy? Say, I am, if you are. Amen. Turn to somebody beside you and say, I'm happy. I'm praying you are too. Come on in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. You can be seated. That sounded real good. You are doing great. Let me get right here to where I'm supposed to be now. All right. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. And I'm going to read for you our text. There's so many that you can have in Scripture, but in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18, if you are in the house today, I hope you have your little handout guide that I gave you. If you do not have it, if you do not, then I have some here that are available. Most everybody probably does, but if you do not, Lewis has some. Hold your hand up, and he'll make sure that you get one. And on this side over here, I get Sean have me right here as well. And as well, if you don't have one, get one. It's going to change your life. Change your life in all kind of ways. You know, really, when you get into teaching the Scripture, you can teach the Bible with a lot of different subjects, but basically, you're teaching the same principles. And so whether you're talking about salvation or whether you're talking about healing, that's it. Everybody shouldn't have it. Is that it? Or whether you're talking about finances, you should be using the same principles, because healing, blessing, finances, all those things come exactly the same way. And you can be blessed today when you're talking about financial issues. You can also receive healing during that time. You can also receive salvation during that time, because the principle, the underlying principle, is the same in whatever you're receiving from the Lord. And so let's begin. And just give you just a little bit, not going to do a lot today because I've got to move to some places I want to get you to. But let's read our scripture for our Deuteronomy 8 and 18. The Bible says, "But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He that gives you the power to get wealth." Again, my basic premise that you hear me speak about again and again and again, it's not the devil, like the world says, that's making you wealthy. It is God that gives you the power to get wealth. So if God gives me power to get wealth, wealth in and of itself just can't be bad. If it was, God wouldn't give me the power to get it if it was bad. And so wealth is a good thing when it's used by righteous people. It's a bad thing when it's used by wicked people. Okay? How many are righteous? Somebody say amen. Well, that's you then. So wealth will be a good thing in your hands. You can do some good things with wealth in your hands because you are a righteous person. So we see that as God gives us power to get wealth, and He's doing that, it might establish His covenant that He swore unto our father or father Abraham as it is this day. God promised Abraham that He would bless him and bless all of his seed. And so for that promise to come true that He made to Abraham, the seed have to be blessed. You and I, according to Galatians chapter 3, we are the seed of Abraham if we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so this promise is mine. It is yours based on that fact. We looked at that. We saw in Deuteronomy And you can just see so many things there. But notice Deuteronomy 28, verse 12, at the end of the verse, notice who the blessed person is. You shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. The blessing is when we don't have to borrow. The blessing is when we don't have to do credit, when we do not have to have debt. That's the blessing. That's the blessing. The blessing is the lender, not the borrower. And so that's where I want to be, and that's where you and I should want to be in our lives. Notice verse 13, and it tells us there that all these things, he'll make you the head and not the tail. You'll be above and not beneath. If, heard me say it before, 1,522 ifs are in the King James Version. If that you hearken unto the commandments of the Lord your God, and I command you this day to observe and do them. Observe and do them. And in prayer this week, the Lord particularly knit my heart in this particular area. When you think of receiving from God in the area of salvation, I'm not dying on a cross and you're not either. We don't have to do anything ourselves that will procure or bring to us our salvation. Jesus did that. Now, of course, we have to say yes. Of course, we have to become a believer and believe in the things of God and accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. Of course, we do those things. But we don't have to do anything to merit or earn our salvation. We can come to God right now. I don't have to go anywhere, do anything else, and say, Lord God, be merciful to me. I am a sinner. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of my unrighteousness. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. And through his atonement, I can now receive salvation. I receive it in Jesus' name. And by faith, I believe I am saved. And I can walk away from that encounter with God with an experience of salvation. I can do exactly the same thing where healing is concerned. Because on the cross, by his stripes, we have been healed, the Bible tells us. And I can say, Lord God, in my body, I'm experiencing physical problems, issues in my body, sickness, disease, whatever it might be. But I believe that Jesus Christ bore my sickness on the cross, and therefore, since he bore it, I don't have to. And so I receive the atonement. So in the name of Jesus, I receive my healing in Jesus' name. And I can be healed instantaneously, just like that. But you know what? Money don't work that way. When you see the blessings of prosperity, you see this connection to it again and again and again. You've got to observe, and then you've got to do. Somebody said, I want a great blessing, a financial blessing from God. Well, the Bible says, give, and it shall be given. It don't just say, it shall be given. Right? Give, then it shall be given. And so there's always this corresponding action that the book of James talks about, that it's connected to that subject and that area of finance. Do we still have to believe? Yes, we do. Do we still have to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Yes, we do. But in the area, there are these rules and principles and laws that are found in Scripture that we have to believe on and practice them and act on the Word of God to see it come to pass in our lives. That's the big difference. It's not enough just to observe them. You have to be a doer of the word. Everybody say, I am a doer of the word. Amen. Amen. Now then, notice it goes on. I can read other things. Joshua 1 verse 8, the last part of Joshua 1 verse 8, you've got it on your green sheet there. Notice what he says. He said, the book of law shall not depart of your mouth. Meditate therein day and night that you observe to do. There it is again. According to all that is written. For then, after you've done what's written, for then you make your way prosperous. You make your way prosperous. Does it say God comes down and makes your way prosperous? You do it. How did you do it? You did it by reading, meditating, muttering the word of God, and doing the word of God. Then you made your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. So we have that explains a lot of things, because I know folks. I know people who are wonderful Christians, and they love God. They surely, surely, truly, truly do. I wouldn't place any of us above them in their walk with the Lord in the era of their salvation and how much they love God. But they've just never gotten a handle on being blessed in prosperity and in finances. This just never seemed to have worked out for them. But they did love God. There are principles that are there. That the same thing could be true with me or with you. You know, there's a certain weight that we would like to be. But you can pray and ask God all day long to make you that weight. How many knows it ain't going to happen until you change what goes into your mouth and how much activity you have going on in your body. Somebody say amen. Same principle in the area of finances. You can make your way. I can do it. You can do it. Absolutely. All right, we can look at verse 1 Chronicles 29, verse 12. Riches and honor come of God. Again, it can't be bad if it comes of God. Riches and honor come of God. Job 36, 11. Notice that if we obey and serve him, then, he says, we'll spend our days in prosperity and years in pleasure. So if you want to have days of prosperity, years of pleasure, obey and serve him. Obey him. If you don't want to have days of prosperity and you don't want to have years of pleasure, then don't obey him. Don't serve him, and you won't have it. It tells us how we can get it right there. In Psalms chapter 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You go all the way to verse 3, Psalms 1 verse 3, whatever he does prospers. If you want to be in an attitude, an atmosphere of whatever you do prospers, then don't take the counsel of the ungodly. Don't listen to what the ungodly say to you. They will lead you down the wrong path, and the objective of the ungodly is not to bless you financially. The objective of the ungodly is to get your finances into their pocket. That's what the ungodly, I mean, this world rolls around, you know, money, 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 money. They're all out to get your money and get all, you know, anything through hook or through crook, any kind of way they can get it. They want your money. So don't listen to the ungodly in what they're telling you about money, because they're only after yours. All right, flip it over. Psalms 34, verse 10. Notice, young lions do lack, suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord will not want any good thing. The person that seeks God will not lack any good thing. We must follow after God. We must seek him. It's not that we just seek him. Lord, I'm going to seek you so I can get wealthy and so I can get rich. It's not that. It's not that. We seek him because we love him and he loves us and we honor him. And whether we ever got a penny to our name from worshiping and honoring God, still worship and honor him. But the fact is, when we do seek and honor him, God says, then you won't lack any good thing in your life. And so we seek God, and that's our promise that we have. In Psalms 35, verse 27, notice this. It says at the very end of the verse that God has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God's happy when you are blessed financially. He's happy when you got money in your pockets, money in the bank, money in investments. He's happy when you own houses and land, and when you own real estate, and you own this, and stocks and bonds, digital currency that they're talking about. He's happy. He's happy to see you blessed. It doesn't make God sad to see you doing well. It doesn't make God sad. I mean, if you ever sit down at a table and you had meager portions on your table, and I have, and you sit down at your table, there wasn't much there to eat, wasn't much going on. That didn't make God happy. God's happy when you have a table that is spread bountifully and you have a banquet before you and you have a choice of foods and things, items that you can eat. Then God's happy. God's excited to see you blessed. You wouldn't be happy if you asked one of your children or grandchildren, how are you doing today? Well, I'm not doing too good, Pa. Naomi called me Pa. She came to the house and said, I'm not doing too good, Pa. Why's that? Naomi, why are you not doing good? Well, I hadn't had a bite to eat in 3 days. And I say, glory, you sure are holy, Naomi. No, I wouldn't say that. No. You know, Papa's got this cookie jar over here just for you over here. And you know, it's waiting on you right there. I mean, you know, no. Where's that Laura and that AJ? We'll get them for not giving you something. You know, that's what you'd say because you love your child. You love them. You love your grandchildren, right? So why would you think God would be happy if you walk around with, you know, don't have anything? No. God wants you to be blessed. He says it. He's got pleasure and the prosperity of his servant. Oh, yeah, it's the Lord says, and Jesus spoke to us in the Gospels when he said, it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. He's happy about it. Well, be happy, God. Somebody say amen. Go ahead and be happy. I am your servant. He says his eyes walk, you know, to and fro over the whole earth to find somebody that he can bring a blessing to. Well, Lord, stop on me. Here I am. You don't need to look any further. Here I am. Well, the Bible tells us this, Psalms 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Desires, not just wants, not just needs. Come to God. God, you know I need it. Don't you know I need it? Well, God may know you have needs, and we've talked about that and will. He knows you have needs, and he can supply those. But it's not just your needs. You don't have to bring a big case to God trying to explain, oh, now, God, if I had that, I'd do this, and I'd do that. I'd do this with it, and I'd do all these kind of things if I just had this. Lord, this is just my need. No. He also gives you desires. You don't need it. You just happen to think about it and wanted it, and bam, there it was. Just a desire. He just gave you a desire. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty and your presses shall burst out with new wine. So if you want plenty, you want more than enough, then honor God. Honor God. Notice it said with your substance. That's stuff you already have. Increase is income that comes in. And so honor God with the substance that you have, and then also with the first fruits of your increase. In other words, when you get increase in your life, tell God, God, I'm going to tithe, I'm going to give. First thing happens is God gets that money. That's the first thing happens. Sheila and I, every month, we've done this many, many years, we sit down and the first thing we do is we write down for the whole month, we'll write down our tithe check for the whole month. Everyone, we've got same color ink, same color everything. Every month, we'll write. That's the only thing we use is our checks for, I guess, now. To do our tithing. But everything else, we pay online other places. But we sit down and do that. It's first thing. We can do nothing else till we get that done. And God's going to be first in our life. How do you think that makes God feel? He's happy about that. He likes that. He likes that. Well, he loves that. Well, God said, well, I might just pop Sheila's arm back into place. I mean, he loves that. He's happy. How many knows God gets happy when we obey him? He does. He's happy when we obey him. All right, Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. There it is. I can't change it any other way. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. I shared with you, I won't go through it again, but I shared with you about five different times, a total now of 18 acres of land that I didn't buy. It was given to me, blessed to me. I mean, different sources, one, two, three different sources, four different sources that it came to me from. And so blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. It makes rich. Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves inheritance to his children's children. To his grandchildren. And that's what we ought to be wanting to do in our lives. We ought to be wanting to have enough to be successful in our own life where we can, you know, have us a home to live in. Want your kids and your family to have a house to live in, want to be under a roof. Want your transportation to come back and forth and go to work and different things you got to do to earn money. You want all that happening. You want food on the table. You want, you know, your kids and family to have clothes to wear. And all the, you want to provide the necessities. And then you want some extra there because you might be retiring one day. And you're going to want to have some money retiring so I don't have to work at a greeter at Walmart and those kind of thing. And you want to be, you know, in that area where you've got money saved up for yourself. And then you say, well, hey, I got kids, I got family, I got grandchildren. I want to bless them too. And I want money for them too. Lots of it. Lots of it. How many wants lots of money for your grandchildren? Say amen. Lots of it. I want lots of money that you can pour into the lives of your children and your children's children. Well, that's a good thing to want. That's a good desire. Because he says a good man does that. In Proverbs 21:5, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. But everyone that is hasty only want that. Ain't no get rich quick scheme. It's a scheme, all right, but it doesn't get you rich. Ain't no cut. I cannot tell you how that, from the principles I'm teaching here this morning, I can't tell you how to make you wealthy by the end of this week. I don't know how to tell you that. If you know, then you know a lot more than me, and that's fine. A lot of people do know more than me. Not an issue with me. But I don't know how to do that. And I don't know anybody else that does know. But I can tell you how to become wealthy over a period of time. You say, how much time? It all depends how aggressively you hit it and how quickly you run with this thing. But within, you know, a few years or whatever, a few years for sure, I can get you, you know, out of debt. And then there, I can get you wealthy and become a millionaire a few years after that. It's not hard. If you follow the principles we're talking about, it's an easy thing for you to do. It's not hard. It's not going to happen hastily, though. It won't happen quickly. Get away from that. Not going to happen quickly. Proverbs 22, verse 7, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Anytime I borrow money or you borrow money, I become a slave to that lender. He tells me what I will pay him, when I will pay him, how much I will pay him, where I will pay him, and if I don't pay him, I lose whatever it is that I've got that I'm paying on in. And so I become a slave whenever I borrow money. So I don't borrow money. All right, so Proverbs 24:33, a little sleep, a little slumber, folding of the hands, poverty comes on you. Laziness produces poverty. And if you have the ability to work and physically able to do so, and you can get out and do things and perform, you need to be earning money, making money. And if you made enough money your whole lifetime to where you don't need to work anymore because you got all kinds of money coming in, that's fine too. If you want to go and work in different directions for yourself or for others and volunteer and give, that's fine too. That's wonderful. Not anything wrong with doing all those things. But what I'm trying to say to you, just sitting at home, doing nothing, not getting out, not hustling, not making it happen, not W-O-R-K-I-N-G, working, then poverty will come on you. Somebody say amen. Amen. It will come on you quickly. Come on you quickly. Now, notice Proverbs 27:23. Be diligent to know the state of your flock. That's when you sit down and you say, all right, here's what I've got. Remember, we talked about that. I showed you. If you don't have one, you can get one after the service today, this thing called net worth. And what you do, you just list down what you own or what you believe you own, your assets, if you have a home that you have, or a house that's paid for, or if you have a house that you're paying on. Either way, you list that down there. If you have a car that you own or a car that you're paying on. If you have a refrigerator that you're, you know, yours, or a refrigerator that you pay, you know, you put down your assets, you list them down there, and I got this ring, or I got this, and got that, and all this kind of stuff. You list down what your assets are on one side, and on the other side, you list down how much you owe on those things. And so let's say you had a home. Home prices are out of this world today. Incredible. But if you had, even in Lawrence County, my, if you had an average home price in Lawrence County, right, just bottom side of $300,000, I mean, wow. When Sheila and I first got married, we were blessed to have an older house on our property, which is what we live in now. But we remodeled it, and our first remodeling loan was $20,000. I couldn't put in a bathroom now for $20,000. Because we just did here a couple years ago. But, you know, now, you better be believing God for money. Because this world has just gone bat crazy about some of this stuff. It is unreal. Unreal. And so, if you're trusting God and believing God for a house, maybe, you know, a $300,000 house, and you borrow on that, you don't put 20% down, which you should. But you don't put 20% down, and you go 280 on it, 290, and you can pay on that 5, 6, 7 years, and you ain't paid hardly a dime on it. Bank still owns a whole lot more of it than you own. And so, you know, you can be in those categories. So that was, you would think, I say, I got a $300,000 house. No, you don't. You only got an $8,000 house because you still owe the bank $293,000 on it. See what I'm saying? And that's what you need to know where you're at. And you look down and, oh, wow, this is where I'm at. Or I'm driving a new car. Well, maybe you're just renting it from the bank because you don't own it, or whatever the case might be. And so that's how you figure out, you know, the state of your flocks. You know where you're at, what you've got. If you took everything you got, sold everything you had, paid off every bill that you had, how much money would you have left over? That's a simple way of understanding it. And so know the state of your flock. So you ought to look at your financial house. What is going on in my financial life? Sit down and look at it and find out where you are at. It's only then that you can determine where you want to go or where you want to be. You have to know where you are at. Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Thank the Lord. All right, Ecclesiastes 5:19. Notice, every man to whom God has given riches and wealth. God gives riches and wealth. End of the verse. This is the gift of God. God gives riches and wealth. Thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Isaiah 1:19, Brother Kenneth Hagin's favorite verse. If we are willing and obedient, we shall eat the good of the land. You have to be willing. That's to have a desire. This is what I want to do. But you also got to be obedient. Obedient means you got to do something. Not just willing, but willing and obedient. You have to do both. If you don't, if you're not doing both, you can't claim this promise of eating the good of the land. You have to do both in order to claim this promise of eating the good of the land. In what, 35 or where am I? I think I backed up one. Let me get where I'm at. Isaiah 48:17, Scripture tells us that it is God that teaches us to profit. You can learn more from God than any financial coach you ever talked to. He can teach you more about how to handle your finances, your money, than anyone can. And he does, all through Scripture. Money is one of the most highest subjects in the whole Bible. Look at what Jesus talked about. You can find it again and again and again addressing money issues. We saw in Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there might be meat in my house. That one way that the church functions and pays its bills is through people bringing tithes and people giving to the church of God. And so as we do that, and you know, there's meat in the house. And he said, now prove me, saith the Lord of hosts, I'll open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't receive. So if you want the windows of heaven open over your life, tithe. Yeah, you want the blessing of God in your life? Tithe. Cut God in for 10% of everything that you do. Sheila and I have done this religiously. I've done it since I was 14 years of age. And we always do this. We do it to the penny. I don't do it to a dollar. I don't round off. I'm giving God 10% because that's what a tithe is. and I'll give him 10% of whatever my income is, right to the penny. Right to the penny, 10%. Now, I also do giving above that, but that's not my tithe. That's my giving. My tithe is exactly 10% of whatever I make. So my income goes up, income goes down, whatever the case may be. My tithe goes up and down with it. Same way. So I tell God, God, you want more from me? You're going to have to give me more because that's where you get it. And that's what God's plan is. That's what he said. And he said that. And well, the windows of heaven have opened for me. Now notice what he says. Verse 11, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Notice the devil's rebuked. He can't touch the tither's money. Everybody say, devil, you can't touch my money because I am a tither. Devil's rebuked. He's rebuked. In the name of Jesus, he is rebuked. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, the last one we read the last time we were together, says, seek you the kingdom of God first, and all these things will be added to you. Put God first in your life. All these things get added once you put God first. Some people want them added and then say, then I'll put you first, God. It don't work that way. You put God first, Jesus says. All these other things will be added. Now look at Matthew 23:23, brand new scripture. Matthew 23:23. You're there close to Matthew 6. You got it right there on your thing. Turn in your Bible so you can see it, or your iPad, iPhone, whatever you got. Matthew 23:23. Because you get this now. There's some people just going back crazy in the world today. And people talk about, well, tithing's not for us because we're in the New Covenant. We're in the New Testament. And we don't believe in tithing in the New Covenant. You can't make me tithe anymore. I'm quitting. All this kind of stuff. And people get out there into that. It's just unreal. There's been separation in the body of Christ because of that. One very, very prominent minister. Very prominent minister. And another minister who they're all connected so closely. That because of this issue and some that surround it, there was a great separation that had to come in the ministry there so that the body of Christ does not become contaminated by things. And you have to be what Brother Hagin used to call years ago, a stickler for the Word of God. If you want to tell me something and you want me to believe it, give me the scripture for it. Because I'm a stickler for the Word of God. That's what's going to make me believe it. It's not because a person's a famous minister or not a famous minister. It's because we found it in the Word of God. The famous minister or the unfamous minister may have showed it to me. It doesn't matter. But once I get to the Word of God, there's my principle, and there's how I'll live my life. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Now, these scribes and Pharisees, the scribes are the people who are entrusted with writing down the Torah, the law, the scriptures, the old covenant that they had at this time. They're writing it down. And the Pharisees are the people who say, we keep it to the letter. We really, really do. We don't care who it kills. We keep it to the letter. That's what they're saying. And so Jesus says, woe unto you, because they've been doing something to the letter. Look, hypocrites. Hypocrites is who you are. He says, for you pay tithe. Notice the three herbs, mint, anise, and cumin. These are like little herbs and little bitty small plants. It's not you pay tithe on your cotton field. It's not that you pay tithe on your 40 acres of corn. It's not that you pay tithe out in the Midwest over thousands of acres of soybeans. That's not what it is. You're even tithing off that little bit that grows on the side of the garden. It is small, it is little. Sometimes it comes up on its own on the sides, and sometimes you plant just a little patch. You're even paying tithes on that. And that's what he says. So in other words, the Pharisee, yes, amen, I pay tithes on all this. Anise coming, all this, I do it. And so he says your problem, though, is you've omitted weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. You're not treating people right. You bring a tithe on that little bit of herbs that you planted, but you're not treating your neighbor right. You're not treating your brother or sister right. You're not, you don't have good judgment toward them. You don't have any mercy toward anybody. And he says here, you don't have any faith toward God. You're doing that outside of faith, outside of judgment, outside of mercy. Now notice what Jesus said. These, the law, judgment, mercy, and faith, you ought to have done. Yes. You ought to have done the good judgment, the good mercy, and the faith. You should have done that. That's what you should have done. And not leave the other, your tithing, undone. from the words of Jesus himself, who is in the New Testament, who told us in Luke chapter 16, verse 16, that from the preaching of John the Baptist, from the law and the prophets to John, till that time, the law is preached, but now the kingdom of God is preached. And so the kingdom law started brand new with John the Baptist. That's where the preaching of John starts the new covenant, according to what Jesus said in Luke 16, 16. And Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and baptized will be saved. All these kind of things. Well, I'm sort of quoting Mark there, my favorite one. But in Matthew 28, he tells them, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Jesus is telling them right here about the don't leave out judgment, don't leave out mercy, don't leave out faith, and keep on tithing. That's what he told them. And so them, the disciples, were told by Jesus to come tell us to observe and do the same things. And so there's no question about it. Tithing is just as much new covenant as ever was old. In fact, it was before the law ever began. Abraham tithed way before the law ever came in. Others tithed. Jacob tithed way before the law ever came in. And so tithing and giving is this part of what we are called to do. We're trusting God when we do that. We're saying unto God, God, here's what I have. Here are my resources. And I'm going to honor you with a tithe, with a gift. And I'm going to bless that unto your hands. And it's holy unto you. And I won't touch it. It's yours. And I'm believing that the rest of the money I have will go further and do more things than it would as if I kept what you said was holy unto you. And I gave unto you. And I'm honoring God when I do that. Jesus said that you ought to do that. That's what you ought to do. And so don't ever think that you get to the place that tithing is not new covenant. It is. There are other scriptures in the book of Hebrews chapter 7 as well. There's other places, Acts, when it talks about other places like that too. And so tithing is New Testament. And if you want to, as a child of God and as a Christian, if you want to be blessed, you're going to have to tithe. That's where you need to be. You need to be tithing, giving, honoring God with your substance, with the first fruits of all your increase, and honoring God with that tenth. Now, you will find this as you study successful people and people who are wealthy and rich. They are big-time givers. Imagine that. Bill Gates, one of the richest men in the world several years ago, and I'm saying his motives are poor. I'm just always right. I'm just telling what he did. He gave all of his wealth away into a foundation that he's using to spread, you know, in his version of it, health and things around the world, and food and things around the world, and education around the world, his version of it. But still, what I'm saying is he gave it all away and put it into a foundation. And he had billions and billions and billions of dollars. You can find, every time you find somebody's got a lot of wealth, tremendous amount of wealth, you'll find that they are givers. They are givers. It's just the way the world works. It's the way society works. When you are blessed, you want to give some of what you have to someone else. You want to put it out there. You want to honor God with your giving. And Jesus talked about it right there in Matthew 23, 23. Now, turn with me to Matthew 25, 25. Second biggest thing. Let me get there. Matthew chapter 25. Turn there in your Bible. Don't, because I want you to see more than this one verse. Matthew 25 and verse 29. Matthew 25 and verse 29. Here it is. Matthew 25 and verse 29. I'm going to back up to verse 21 and read just a little bit of this. That you, oh, where can we start at? We can back up. Let's back up to verse 14. Matthew 25, verse 14. Two verses of Scripture changed my world. The first one was that one in Proverbs where we saw, 22, verse 7, that the borrower servant to the lender. That verse dropped into my spirit in the year 2007. I knew it before then. I'd read it before then. I could quote it before then. But then it became rhema real to me. It was God speaking to me through the Bible from the lips of Dave Ramsey. That's how it got into me. And it became real. A second verse that also became real to me is in Matthew 25, verse 29. Those two verses alone, if you want to condense down everything I've been saying for the last several weeks and whatever else, if I preach on this again, who knows? If you want to condense it all down, The two things, those two verses encapsulate two things. Now, you can break it down and divide it up, put steps, all of that, and it's good to do that, to go and look at the process of how it all works. But those two verses, one is get out of debt, two is save money. It's real simple, isn't it? Well, you say, what about when I want to just save money? Well, you can't save money until you get out of debt. Because no matter how much you save, you still owe it. And it really ain't yours. You think it is, but it's not. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, I got $25,000 in the bank. Well, how much do you owe? Well, $40,000 on my car. Well, you in the hole. You don't have any money. If you got $25,000 in the bank and you owe $40,000 in your car, you're in the hole $15,000. And so you have to do both. You got to pay off your debt before you can begin building wealth. Okay, let's look at it. In Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Jesus has given all these parables to the disciples and tell them this is how it's working. He's sort of saying, I'm about to leave, but now that I've been here on planet Earth, I've given you disciples and others that follow you. I've given you the keys to the kingdom. I'm going now. You're going to have to do something with it. That's really what he's talking about in this parable. And so he says in verse 15, unto one he gave five talents. Notice that. A talent, what's that? It's a weight measurement of gold or silver, whichever one you're talking about. But one he gives five talents, and to another two, and to another one. Notice, 5, 2, 1. 5, 2, and 1. I want to be the one that gets five. I'll be the one that gets two. I don't want to be the one that gets one. 1, 2, and 5 talents. Why do some people get five? Some people get two, and some people get one. Notice what it says here. He gave to one five talents, to another two, another one, to every man according to his several ability. He gives it to them based on where they are at with what they have and what they do with what they have, how they think the process. He gives it to them based on who they are. That's how it starts. But do you know that you can increase your allotment from 1 to 2? Do you know that you can increase your allotment from 2 to 5? Do you also know that you can increase your allotment of 5 to 10? I'll show it. I'm not talking about going to jail for robbery either, 5 to 10. No, you can increase your allotment from 5 to 10. Watch it. You'll see it. It's real easy to see, or else I wouldn't have saw it. Now, then notice there. All his servants delivered them the goods. He gave it to them according to their own several ability, and straightway took his journey. In other words, he gave it to them and walked off. What's that tell you? They got to do something with it. Not him. He's walked off. He gave it to him and left. It's up to you. Everybody say, it's up to me. Say this to me. Say, my financial victories, successes are up to me. It's up to you. It's up to you. He gave it to him and walked away. Notice, verse 16. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made five talents. How did those five talents become five more talents and 10 total? How did that happen? It wasn't the owner that left him with the things, that he's gone away. It wasn't him. It was the guy that got the five talents, traded with them. He bought and he sold, he merchandised. He did something with those five that caused them to double and become 10. He did it. He did it. What did he do? I don't know. It just says he traded with them. I don't know that they had the Jerusalem Stock Exchange at that time, but somehow he traded with them, whatever the case may be. And he doubled his money. 5 to 10, that's a doubling of his money. Then notice it. And likewise, verse 17, he that had received two, he also gained other two. Well, the guy with two did the same thing. Oh, I saw this several years ago. This was so good. He did the same thing. If you can double at two, you can double at five. The same process to double is the same whether it's two or five. You just got to decide which level you're going to be working at. Decide which level that you have enough faith to go into to work at. Several years ago, one of the largest purchases, not the largest, but one of the largest, Sheila had made several years ago when she found out a company was selling out. She bought about $25,000 worth of one author. And she got hundreds of authors. But she bought $25,000 of one author's material. Just 25, that's a lot. Because he was selling it 70% off. And so she could get it and sell it at 40% off and still make lots of money, right? Because she's buying it at 70. After she bought it and another company started printing it, they jumped the prices way up there. Way, way up there. So there was a season of time that she could make lots of money. But she also had to invest lots of money. Put lots of money in it to make lots of money. She didn't get there overnight. She started in 1999. So didn't get there overnight. And this is just a few years ago that that happened. And other things too, but certainly that. So you got to have to understand there that you're going to be the one that can do the trading. And you can trade for small or you can trade for big. Don't do anything big unless you know what you're doing. Don't walk out here and say, well, Pastor said, I need something, do something big. I'm going to go buy some, you know, seaweed in the Atlantic Ocean that we make hamburgers out of. You're going to be eating a lot of rotten seaweed and hamburgers then. Well, ain't nobody likes it. So don't do anything foolish. But I want you to see the principle. You can operate at this level or you can jump to that level and operate. Maybe jump's the wrong word. Ease on up. Ease on down the road. Anyway, verse 16, notice. He that received the five talents went and traded them same, made other five. Likewise, he that two also gained other two. But, he that received one went and digged in the earth, and he hid his Lord's money. I'm just going to go hide it. I'm not going to do anything with it. I'm going to hide it. I don't want anybody to steal it. And so I don't want them to come get it. And maybe they got the dog sniffer that can sniff out this money. But no, I don't want that to happen. I'm just going to hide it. Now, verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. There is a reckoning day that is coming to all of us. And we will be held accountable to God what we did with what he gave us to do with. And so verse 20, and so he that had received the five talents came, brought five talents, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me five talents. Behold, I've gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. In other words, when you are faithful over a little, that will move you to another level higher. But you don't go to the higher level until you're faithful over little. And so if you have an income coming in that is not what you want it to be, what you need to do first, there's other things, but what you need to do first is look at that income and say, am I using this wisely? If you're receiving so much a week, am I receiving this? Am I using it wisely or am I just blowing it? Am I spending more than I make? You will never become wealthy spending more than you make. Whatever you make is all you can spend. If you borrow and spend more than what you make, then you are digging your hole of debt in your life. The old folks, we understood that real well years ago. But that's what's happening. And so, manage what you have first. Make it work for yourselves. And Sheila and I, we've done that over the years. I mean, we still do that even today. I mean, I can't help it. You get that Lawrence advertiser in and tell me Burger King's going to give me two meals for $9, we're headed to Burger King. Get that value meal, get that coupon, right? Probably ought not be. Might want to go somewhere that's got lettuce, tomatoes, that kind of thing. But anyway, still, you know, we're looking for a value, looking for a good deal. Now, we can eat anywhere in the world we want to eat, but, you know, looking for a value, looking for a deal. It's wise. It's wise to do things like that. So anyway, notice what he did. He's faithful over little. You be made faithful over much, or you have much. Verse 21, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Faithful over a few things, ruler over many. Faithful over a few things, ruler over many. As I honor God with what I've got, I tithe and I give and I bless. I also use it wisely. I look at my budget. I don't do things wrong. I don't go out and make rash decisions. I do right. I do that, then God's going to bless me with more, more, and more. Now, verse 22. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. I've gained two others besides this one. Now, he did the same thing the guy with five did, just at a different level. The same thing. Verse 23, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over many things. Enter thou the joy of the Lord. The Lord says the same thing to him. If my lot in life is of a nature that I don't have much happening financially in my life, be faithful over that. And God will honor you there. And move you up to a greater level, a bigger level in your life. But you will never move to that higher level until you're faithful over where you're at. Notice what he said, verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent. Oh, no. came and said, Lord, I knew that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not strawed. Somebody looks at that and they says, wait a minute. Isn't that mean, cruel, this guy? You know, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you had not sown something and you hadn't strawed anything out there. Well, yeah. Remember, the man that set all three of these people up, he's an investor. He didn't do the work, but he gave them the money to do the work with. And so he's like the guy that sat back and he invested this into their lives. Now you go do it. And so, no, he didn't necessarily go, you know, sow and reap for each one of them. He didn't actually put the seed in the ground if that were the case. He didn't do that, but he financed it. He invested in them. He put the money into their life for them to do it. So they're supposed to produce a return for him. And if they don't produce more than what he gave them, they're getting fired. They're gone. They're out of here. He's not going to put up with it. Look what he says. In verse 24, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not straw. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the earth. And lo, what you have is yours again. But it's really not his again. But he says it's yours again. I don't know how long he's gone. But if he was gone a year's worth of time, last year in 2022, if he had been gone a year's worth of time and I had given you $100 at the beginning of the year to go make me some money with and you came back, you would have only come back and given me $91 because there was 9% inflation. So sticking that money in the ground don't make nobody nothing. You're losing money in that money in that tin can in the backyard. You're losing money, and you're losing money at the bank. If you are at the bank and you make no percent or 1% or 0.1% or 2%, I mean, I haven't counted. I make 4.3% in the bank, just savings, 4.5%. And I'm still losing money if I keep lots of money in there. I'm still losing money there. Because when inflation right now is running right about 6, 7% right now. So if I'm making 4, inflation is running 7, I'm losing 3% every single year. On saving. So I got to do something more than save, and I do. You have to do something more than save. But this guy didn't do anything. He just puts it in the ground, digs it, and says, Lord, what you had is yours. You know, I knew you're a hard man and all this kind of stuff. And this is what he said. Now, notice what happens. His Lord answered, verse 26, and said to him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew I reap where I didn't sow and gather where I have not strong. You ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with interest, or usury, King James says. And it was the very least thing you should have done. You should have at least put it in a bank. Put it in a can in a backyard, not making anything. You should have at least done that with my money that I gave you that I'm now come back for. And now you've given me less than what I gave you in the first place. That's the very least thing you should have done. Notice he said, you are a wicked servant. You are a slothful servant. Lord, help me. That's what he says. Then verse 28, he says, take therefore the talent from him. The guy that got the one, take it from him. Without reading any more, who do you think he's going to give it to? Who would you give it to? I'd give it to the guy that doubled my money at the highest level. You could give it to the guy that had two because he doubled it too. He'd probably double it too. But we got this guy that knows how to handle money at the five talents. And he's going to double it at the bigger level. He's more experienced in working with lots of money than the guy at two is. Guy at two is doing good. Ain't nobody complaining. You know, he's doing good. Not like that guy at five. That guy can take two of the guys at two, double them, and make more than they make. Two and a half, five. And so that's what he does. Notice what he says here. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which had 10 talents. Remember when I told you that all of them go to a higher level? And you were thinking, you know, yeah, I knew the two could go up. And I knew the one could go up if he'd done right. And the two could. But I didn't think the five. Yeah, the five did. Now the five goes five to five. 10. Now he don't have 10 anymore. He's got 11. Because he got the one talent from the guy at the bottom, did nothing with it. And it goes up to him, and now he's got 11 talents to go, 11 talents, whatever case may be. Here we come now. Here's the principle of this whole story. Here it is. For unto every one that has shall be given. Notice the word hath in verse 29, H-A-T-H. The person that possesses, that's King James language, I call it hather. To everyone hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. It does not say what most everybody thinks it says. Most everybody thinks to everyone who makes a lot of money, it shall be given. It don't say that. It does not say to everyone that makes $250,000 a year in income. It doesn't say it. To everyone that makes $100,000 a year in income, it doesn't say that. To everybody that makes $10,000 a year in income, it doesn't say it. He's not dealing with income in this principle. To everyone that hath, the person that has, remember he's come back and said, what do you have now? I gave it to you before. Two of them had doubled it, wasn't done nothing with it. Everyone that has, after you've done this and that, now you have. You are a hather. To everyone that hath shall be given. There is my miracle principle right there. If you will save money, keep some of your own money. So this proves I must be of God, because pastors usually don't say that, do they? Keep your own money. The money you make and you work for that came in your life, keep some of it. Don't give it all to the church. Somebody say amen. You should, because it's hard to get that out there. Don't give it all to the church. Don't give it all to the payment collectors. Don't give it all to the house mortgage. Don't give it all to the car payment. Don't give it all to Visa or MasterCard or Discover Debt or Americans. Don't give it all to them. Don't give it all to the guy that you're buying this or that. Don't give it all to buying gas and running up your cars all week long to, you know, here, there, and everything. Don't give it all to expenses. Don't give it all to eating out. Don't do that. You've got to keep some of your own money. You have to hold on to it and keep it. In other words, you have to become a hather. Once you become a hather, it says here, everyone that has shall be given. A miracle will begin to happen, and people will begin to put money into your life. Money will come your way through supernatural means. Money that you just don't know where in the world is all this money coming from. And it just starts coming in from various sources, various places, and you become a hather. One very simple way, of course, we talked about that bank. If you just put some money in the bank and, you know, don't do it locally, they're not going to pay you anything. But you go on an online bank and get 3%, 4%, 5% interest. So go there and they're going to give you money. They're going to give you money because you'll keep your money and then they'll loan it out to other people, do other things with it, and they'll pay you your cut, your interest off of it. Well, that's a way. And you can see that increase, but it will never increase. It doesn't matter what they say. I mean, you know, like I was talking about that account at 4.35 yesterday, and on a savings account, 4.35. Well, if I don't have any money in there, it's zero. But I got to put money in there to get the 4.35 interest. You don't get paid the interest on zero balances. Somebody say amen. You have to become a hather. And what? Remember now, we're dealing with God's holy word. And so once this gets to happen in your life and you begin to save something, keep something, you don't spend every dime you made. You don't do that. You save some of it yourself. You begin to put it in investment vehicles of life, whatever that might be. You begin to save it. Then miraculously, things begin to come in your life and God begins to bless you with abundance. You say, where's that at, Pastor? Keep reading. He shall be given and he shall have what? What shall he have? Say it again. What shall he have? Remember Jesus said, and we quote this, John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you have life and have it how? More abundantly. Right? How do you get it more abundantly? Right here, become a hather. Become a hather. And you can have abundance. I'll tell you my story. Sheila and I started a number of years ago, and we really didn't get serious until 2014. But prior to that, we had always given money to save investment, that kind of thing. We would start out saving $10. That was strange, $10 a month. $10. And you said, that's not much, is it? No, it wasn't. But it was a lot for us and a starting point for us, and we started doing it. But over the years, we increased, and I noticed as we began to have more, and have more in there, more money began to come our way. And particularly after we made that second law and paid off all of our debt. It took 7 years to do it. Well, we paid off all of our debt in 2007, 2013, 2014 was the first official year that we were debt-free. Makes it seven. But anyway, 2014, that showed up on my, Quicken, and I used my accounting statements for us personally. And it came up there that we're out of debt. And then from 2014 to now, we've been able to invest money now because we don't owe debt. We didn't owe a house payment. We didn't owe a car payment. Didn't owe a Jeep payment. Didn't owe college. Didn't owe seminary. Didn't owe all that stuff. Got all that out of the way, took that money, began to invest it in 2014 to now, made us wealthy, made us rich. And so that it happened that way. But what we noticed was as we did that and saved money and saved money and saved money, invest money, invest money, save money, invest money, we become happier, more became into our lives. And so when we started out, a good rule of thumb would be maybe 10% like you do God. I'm giving God 10%, I'll save 10%. Or Dave Ramsey says save 15% for retirement. That's what I call my get rich fund. And so you could do that. We actually started out doing this several years ago. We said, well, let's do 10% to God and then 10% in savings. And then we started saving 10% in our get rich fund, we called it. That was 30% that we're doing that with. Or actually 20% of savings, 10 to God. That's investment too. But 20% in savings. And today, I looked the other day, we're saving almost 50% now of everything we get. We save half of everything that comes into our life. Well, we didn't start out that way, though. What happened? The miracle took place. You become a hather. Saving something, keeping something, holding on to a portion, it will begin to multiply in your life, and this miracle of abundance will take place in your life. Notice what he said. The abundance, and from him that hath not shall be taken away what he hath. And notice he says, everyone that has shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But the person that doesn't, even what he has, he's going to lose that. So if my option is lose it all or abundance, I think I'll take abundance. How about you? If that's my choice, is lose it all or get abundance, I think I'll just go with abundance. And look what happened to the other guy, verse 30. Cast that unprofitable, an accounting term, unprofitable servant. If you've got a number of businesses and one number are unprofitable, you're going to shut it down. And that's what's happening here. Cast that unprofitable servant out of darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that unprofitable. I want to be the one that has the abundance. I want to do that because I'm going to be a hather. I'm going to do that because I'm going to be faithful over what God has put in our life. And if you'll be faithful over what God, whatever level you are at, it can start at the smallest level to the greatest level. Whatever level you're at, because I know in the house, I'm speaking to some of us in the house today, and we're at such a smaller level that we just want to get our bills paid. If I could just do that, well, this works just for that. You got to be a hather, and that'll work for that too. Or some others say, well, I got my bills paid, but I want to get some debts paid off, or all of them paid off. Well, you can do that too. Or maybe have your debts paid off and say, well, I want to be a millionaire. Well, you can do that too. That's not hard either. Every step, but it looks very impossible. Millionaire level looks extremely impossible if you're down here at this lower level. But as you move and are faithful over the few things and you become ruler over many, you'll find yourself arriving there and getting there very easily. It's not hard once you do it, if you do it God's way. But lean not unto your own understanding. Put the counsel of the world aside. Don't listen to the ungodly and do what God's told you to do. Now, if you've got faith, boldness, and courage to do this, this day can be a changing point and a turning point in your life. Change your history. You can change the history of your family, of your children, and all that come after you, depending on how much you put some of this into active and active life, active living, actually, or doing it in your life. Today, it will change you. Somebody say amen. Thank the Lord. God bless you. Stand up this morning. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Ask God's blessings on us in Jesus' name and give him praise and give him all glory. Bow your heads as we go before the Lord. Father God, in Jesus' name, we come before you, Lord. We thank you for the day that you've given us, Lord. God, you know our hearts and our lives are turned toward you. And Lord God, if we never had a penny of wealth or a dime or a nickel or whatever people call it, it would mean nothing to us, Lord God, whatsoever if we did not have you in our lives. You are first. You are worth more than all the silver and gold this world could ever, ever begin to offer. You are greater. And so, Father God, in Jesus' name, we exalt you. We lift you up. And we thank you, Father God, that as we put you first place in our lives, you will take care of all of our needs. Lift your hands toward heaven. Come on, all over the buildings. Lift your hands toward heaven. I want you to pray a prayer with me. Just stretch it up, and we're going to pray a prayer together in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Nobody looking around, whatever. Just put your hands up toward the heaven. Pray me. Say, Dear Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I thank you that you love me so much. You love me so very much that you gave Jesus, your only son, just for me. To pay for all of my sins and wash them all away. And so, Lord Jesus, I receive you as Lord and Savior of my life. I give my life to you. I'll follow you and live for you all the days of my life. And Lord God, you are responsible. And you deserve all the praise and all the glory for what you have done in my life. And Lord, I know that you want me to have food on my table, a place to live, clothes to wear, and to be able to live and exist in this beautiful world that you have created. And so, Father, I believe that you will take care of all of my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And as for my part, I will honor you, obey your word, trust in you, and receive the blessings of the Lord. For they are mine, and I have them now in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this faith-filled message. Please connect with us at our website, gospeltabernaclechurch.com, so we can continue to be a part of your faith walk. And if you're listening today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, now is the time to do that. Now, today is the day of salvation. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Father, I believe you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins on the cross, and you have raised him from the dead that I might be alive in him. Jesus, I confess you are Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome. You're now in the family of God. You're a child of God. Connect with us. Let us know if you prayed that prayer. We want to be right there alongside you as you walk out this journey of faith in Christ. God bless you.